podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rival Recon here on Anfield Index Pro. I'm Harry Sethi. After the Reds picked up a 1-0 win over Atalanta in the return fixture of the Europa League quarterfinal, unfortunately, it didn't prove to be enough. Of course, the Reds exiting the competition on aggregate 3-1 losers in that contest. But really, in the end, gave themselves too much to do after such a poor leg at Anfield. On the podcast this week, we'll be hoping the Reds can shake off those cobwebs. Really, the most recent sort of malaise we've seen in terms of a lack of steam, a lack of energy, maybe a lack of belief, and certainly in front of goal following that 1-0 loss to Crystal Palace, unexpected home loss to Crystal Palace in the last game as they take on Fulham this weekend away from home, hoping to reassert themselves, hoping to get themselves back in contention for the title again, with City, of course, having taken the lead in that race following Arsenal and Liverpool both slipping up last time round. So on the podcast this week, to help us get more of an insight, I suppose, into how Fulham's season's gone, a very inconsistent campaign, but I think one is ending up with a positive trajectory. Delighted to welcome on Kyle Bond from the Sporting News to give us more insight into Fulham's season and how it's been. But before we welcome Kyle in, did want to just tell all the listeners once again, for those of you who do want to listen on beyond the 30-minute mark here, because it will cut off after the 30-minute mark, just do subscribe to Anfield Index Pro by going to anfieldindex.com and following the steps on the site. As we've said in the past, $4.99, the price of one of those flat whites that you order in a cafe, very good value for that. Loads of analysis, you know, detailed looks at the way in which Liverpool season's unfolded, the trends, the reasons behind, you know, for example, where they currently find themselves, and, you know, articulate speculation, analysis of whether we can turn it around as well. So I do encourage you, if you do want to listen on beyond that 30-minute mark, to go to AnfieldIndex.com and register, subscribe to Anfield Index Pro to listen on beyond that point. Having said that, we'll crack on with the pod now. And I'll welcome on Kyle in a second.
Welcome on, Kyle. Good to speak with you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm excited for this weekend and for the run-in. I know you guys are probably a little bit nervy, a little bit trepidatious, but we'll make it through, I promise.
Yeah, hopefully we can get your participation in that. We can have a word with the Fulham team, but I'm expecting a tough test this weekend. Certainly, yeah, it's sort of the state of play, isn't it? That Liverpool currently third, Arsenal second. Not been a good week or couple of games, I'd say, for all English teams, obviously, in terms of sort of the European competitions, with the exception of Aston Villa and Unai Emery, who continue to just sort of stamp their authority on these kind of competitions. But obviously Man City losing a midweek to Real Madrid, dispiriting defeat, the classic sort of Real Madrid defeat where, you know, you can dominate them for large swathes of the game and they drag you into the deep water that you don't want to go into and somehow find a way to prevail. Arsenal obviously losing to Bayern Munich, but Arsenal and Liverpool both slipping up last weekend, defeats to Crystal Palace and somehow suddenly gone blank. Arsenal obviously losing to Villa as well, which means that at the moment, some might say the Death Star of the Premier League has retaken the lead, 73 points to Manchester City, very tight still, both Arsenal and Liverpool on 71. Seemingly all to play for, five games left. Have to say, a lot of despondency, I'm seeing online, a lot of quite pessimistic takes. We'll probably get into that at some stage, but we want to talk to you about Fulham on this podcast. And I don't think there's much despondency at the moment. Certainly, that's the gist I've gotten. But I wanted to ask you, 5 games left to go. What are your overarching thoughts, I suppose, on how Fulham's season's unfolded, and maybe just touching upon some of the strides the team's taken?
Yeah, it's been a weird year, I think, positively more than negatively, for sure. But there's been very little consistency at all. Their results come completely on an island, and that's okay as long as you're getting the full scope of things. But they've done pretty well. I think there's been a lot of, I really, really hesitate to say the word luck, because I think that takes a lot of the results out of the hands of those who have crafted them. So I don't want to say luck, but I think there has been a lot of good fortune with where the team stands right now, because a lot has had to come together to make some of this happen. You look over the last 2 seasons. Last season, Fulham conceded the most expected goals in the Premier League, and Bern Leno just dragged them to a mid-table finish. He was unbelievable. He was statistically the second best goalkeeper in the league behind Alisson. Now this year, you've got, you know, he's taken a step back, understandably. That's what happens. I mean, it's like the Erling Haaland thing. Like, Haaland set records last year, and then his over-under this year with the bookmakers was like 32.5 goals. And you're like, oh, you just want him to set the record again. Sure. Understandably, Bern Leno took a step back. So there are others that had to fill his place. The one that comes to mind, Rodrigo Muniz, who has been just, I mean, to replace Alexander Mitrovic from nowhere without spending a dime, really, is remarkable. And I don't think anyone expected it. And that's where I mean by they've got a lot of good fortune this year, because they went into the season with pretty much no striker. You know, Raul Jimenez was a low risk, high reward that very rarely works out. It did for a minute, and then, this was not really expected to be a thing. So that sort of disappeared. And there were really no other good options. And so for him to emerge like he has, he's honestly, and you know, it's funny because we've had conversations at the Sporting News where I work about Copa America and Euros for months. I mean, we're prepping for a lot of this stuff. And I have repeatedly been like, I think this guy could make the Brazil squad this summer, which is outlandish. But there is a chance that that could happen. So a couple of those things have had to come together for them to have the season they're having. The other one I can think of is 35-year-old Willian refusing to die. You know, his career just continues to stroll along. And he's been a viable attacker, which I just did not see coming. So there have been a few of these things that have emerged, which I don't think many people outside of the club at least expected, to keep them afloat. And it's been fun to watch that, albeit a little bit nervy, but fun.
Yeah, you never quite know what you're gonna get from the side. I think as you mentioned, and I think ahead of the previous fixture, I remember speaking to I think it was someone from the Fulhamish pod that we had on for that conversation. We're talking about just what you mentioned, you know, the fact that, you know, the way in which Mitrovic left, how late it was in the end, the club not bringing in a like for like replacement, trying their luck with the likes of Raul Jimenez, trying to sort of revive what he once was. And yeah, I have to say, as a Liverpool fan, watching from afar, I very much enjoyed those couple of weeks as well, as I'm sure you did, where it did appear as though Raul Jimenez was rolling back the years a little bit, like really influencing games, being very having an imprint in those games. But of course, that has hasn't proved consistent. But I want to talk about some of the players who came in and then get to Muniz, as you mentioned. I mean, Alex Iwobi comes in, Calvin Bassey, Timothy Castagna, Jimenez, you've mentioned, a smaller deal for Ben as a young goalkeeper. Adama Traore is there on a free. There's a loan, I believe, for Armando Broja as well. Those deals, you know, like, interesting business, some smart business there in terms of some of, Calvin Bassey is a young player with a bright future, hopefully, in terms of sort of if he can make the necessary steps development-wise. A couple others there, I suppose, towards starting to get towards the tail end of their career. It will be still in the prime, I'd say, but like on the precipice, I suppose. But I wanted to ask you what you've made of those signings before we get into talking about, of course, the man who's filled the void in terms of being the surprising attacking option for you. But how have those signings fared this season? Which ones have done better than others, for example? And which of those have made themselves mainstays in the team?
Yeah, I think this was a typical Fulham transfer window, right? You got a couple of low risk, high reward options that you don't expect to work out, but you hope do. Couple of young players. Iwobi has been a player of the season candidate, and
the work rate you're getting from that guy's sensation.
Yeah. And I was going to say, not in a flashy way, right? But he is on a team that lacks consistency. He has been one of the more consistent players. And I think it's just been fantastic because he's playing next to a player who embodies the lack of consistency in Andreas Pereira. So on days when Pereira is having his best, Iwobi does the things that lets Pereira shine. And then when Pereira is invisible, he kind of picks up the slack. And that has been really fun to watch. I think Bassey has a lot to learn. He is, I would say, raw as far as a talent goes, which isn't exactly what you want from a 23-year-old, especially, you know, when you're spending upwards of 20 million euros on a player. But that's probably why he fell through the cracks. If Bassey was polished as far as a 23-year-old center back is supposed to go relative to his talent level and his ceiling, he probably goes to a club that's a European participant. So these are the kind of players that Fulham need to search for and have found. Castagna is an interesting player because when he was at Leicester, I never really rated him very highly. No. And he's one of those players that Leicester, when they won the title, you know, they lost all their big players. That's just how it goes. They had to sell a bunch of them. He was one of the purchases that they made in response, like with that money, right? Like the N'Golo Kante money, the et cetera, et cetera. And sort of embodies the reason why they weren't able to make it stick. Because you not only have to, when a club like Leicester City does what a club like Leicester City did, you've not only hit home runs on all the players that you've acquired recently to win the title, now you have to hit a home run on all the players that you acquire with the reinvestment of the sale of all those players, and it just didn't happen. It's almost impossible to ask. So Castagna was one of those players that just didn't hit for them when they reinvested, and I think Fulham have done really well to make him work in that position because they have already a good player in Kenny Tete, and he's taken a step back. So having Castagna there to perform was really a good bit of foresight by the Fulham transfer department, because I think they identified that, hey, we have a player who we can rely on the left in Anthony Robinson. We might need another right back in case Kenny Tete takes a step back, which he did. So pretty good bit of business overall. When you look at this transfer window, Jimenez was a punt. I don't think they expected him to be the regular starter coming into the season. He was supposed to be a backup to Mitrovic. Maybe they knew, okay, if we need him to be the starter, he maybe can be. And like you said, there was a stretch where it was exciting and maybe like, whoa, okay, he's back. Which for me as an American was a funny feeling because, you know, the U.S. national team has a pretty hotly contested rivalry with Mexico.
Yeah.
And since his sort of disappearance, they've had no striker. So now I'm watching this going, oh no, Mexico has their striker back. Right. You know, but that ultimately didn't work out. And Traore and Roja are two players who were even bigger punts, and those haven't yet really manifested. So overall, I think you look at it and you go, the ones that needed to hit, and that represents a very wildly successful transfer window.
Absolutely. And I think in the chat we had before talking about the signings who've come in, we also spoke about other players who have come to the fore this season, improved, maybe surprised people in terms of sort of them arriving on the scene. It's been interesting. I think looking at the lineup, for example, that played against West Ham most recently, you see some of the names in there, and you spoke about Leno and his heroics last season, just the sheer volume of shots he faced and the overperformance was, yeah, really something to be impressed by, to be honest. I think Paulinho, you know, how close he came to leaving the club, and you think about how integral a figure he is, you know, at times in terms of the work rate he gets through, the intelligent positioning, how he provides that platform for others to go and express themselves. Willian, as you were saying, like, I have to say, surprised to see the way in which he's been able to maintain that burst of acceleration just over a short bit of distance, which makes him so dangerous in moments. I thought in the number of games Liverpool and Fulham have had this season, because of course there's been the league thriller, and then there were the cup games as well. I thought he was, you know, pretty influential throughout, Willian. And then Muniz, who we spoke about at the start in terms of him emerging as this striker that can get goals. And you know, obviously, that nice touching moment recently I saw when he was awarded with the Premier League Player of the Month award. You know, that you don't
just lost it.
Yeah, you don't often see. You know, that it means that much to players. You know, to receive it. Very often, people who receive it, or people who've received it, you know, many times, for example. And yeah, I thought that was great, just to see exactly how much that meant to him. You know, that the teammates are presenting it to him as, you know, good spirit there. And so, I wanted to segue onto Muniz and just feign the ignorance here completely and says, if someone didn't know anything about this guy at all, where has he come from? How has he emerged like this? Why did he get this opportunity? And what sort of striker is he in terms of how he plays and probably the strengths to his game?
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you should know about him is that he got this opportunity because there's no one else.
Right.
You know, they just didn't have any other options. There was Jimenez has sort of fallen off. The red card for him was really the start of his dive back down into obscurity when he got that that it went viral. I think it was like a a ninja kick almost that was very unintentional, but he got sent off for it. And that was sort of the dive for him back down. And there was just nobody else who could go up there. And so they've sort of brought him along quicker than they expected. He arrived at Fulham a couple of years ago from Flamengo. So, you know, developed in his home country, and went on loan to Middlesbrough, and did not so great, to be honest with you. He was mostly a bench option, came on for a handful of championship games, only got two goals in about 900 league minutes. So coming off I don't want to say failed loan spell. There's really that phrase is overused a little bit too much, but it wasn't successful in really too many ways. And I don't think they expected him to be an option, but because there was nobody else, Marco Silva just said, well, it can't get any worse. So let's just throw him up there and see what happens. And it's worked to perfection. He is almost, I don't want to say carbon copy of Mitrovic because he's not, but it kind of is. So if you're looking for what's the profile of this player, it's not a guy who's going to hold the ball up. He's not a guy who is going to rack up a lot of assists with his goals. You know, you think of a guy like Lewandowski, who, you know, he is a goal hawk, but can also bring his teammates into the attack. He is a poacher, just like Mitrovic was. And what was perfect about that is he fits right into what Fulham do. Why do you think they went out and got Raul Jimenez? He's a poacher. So when the goals dried up for Raul Jimenez, that's all he got. But that's the profile of striker that this team needs. So he's great in the air. He's an excellent finisher. He'll have a go from distance every once in a while. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But he's very similar to Mitrovic, and that is why it's worked so well in Fulham, is because they're used to playing. Marco Silva's used to playing with a player like this. The players are used to feeding a player like this, and it's really been a revelation. And maybe partly why Marco Silva threw him up there, because he said, well, you know, it hasn't worked for this player yet in England, but this will be the best chance for him to display his best talents. So it's just been wonderful to watch. And like you said, you don't see players show their true selves like that. And when he was awarded that Player of the Month trophy, you know, you've got Willian, who's another Brazilian, bringing it to him. What a moment that was, because you think about a player in his situation coming off a championship loan spell that didn't work, suddenly thrust into this situation. Can you imagine 4 months ago and going, hey, you're going to win the Premier League Player of the Month, and the sheer look of confusion on their face? It's incredible. And you just have to enjoy it, because Fulham are safe from relegation now. There's really nothing to play for, and you can tell at times. That's been the tough part over the last few weeks, is they've kind of been on the beach, so to speak. But you get the chance to just sit back and enjoy what is happening here at the end of the season, and that's really been fun.
Music to my ears there with the on the beach commentary. Do you hope that doesn't come back to bite us? Yeah, hopefully cocktail in hand on the weekend. But it doesn't mean he's completely agree. I think, you know, you sometimes underestimate the precarity of these footballers' careers, right, in terms of sort of them needing to be a success in certain moments. And you know, there must be plenty of moments of self-doubt when things don't go your way. It does require a real strong mentality to keep pushing. So yeah, fantastic to see him get his chance. So many players do get their chance that way, right? And there's no one available. Someone's got injured, someone unexpectedly unavailable, and you know, give a kid a chance or give this guy a chance. And yeah, I mean, we've seen it before. You know, players have gone on loan multiple times. It just hasn't worked out. I'm not comparing him to this guy, but I do think there are lots of people sometimes
forget about just the journey, for example, the likes of Harry Kane had, you know, when he actually emerging into the team the first time, really largely discarded, you know, disregarded by coaching teams, plenty of loans, not really going anywhere. Really hard to imagine that now, given how much of a polished operator he appears at times. So, yeah, let's see just how high this guy's ceiling is. I think it's certainly always exciting to see an emergence like that. And you mentioned Marco Silva, and I think whenever you get these players emerging, they need the trust of the manager. I think you also need that collective spirit to be maintained to do what you've done in terms of you're safe from relegation now and just play with a bit more freedom, see what comes of it. I want to ask you how you think Marco Silva's done this season. If there's been any notable changes in terms of how he set the side up, dealing, of course, with the loss of a talisman figure like Mitrovic. How do you think Marco Silva's done? And maybe a sort of also a question about if this side's to kick on now, if it's to take some further steps in its development, what do you think he's going to be targeting as sort of the area to focus on?
Yeah, so I think Marco Silva has been amazing. And I think most Fulham fans would agree with you. It's an interesting situation because he really didn't have a ton of success at really anywhere. He's had good spells. He did well at Sporting, at Olympiacos in the beginning of his career. Good spell at Watford, which got him the Everton job. But they're all short, and there was really nowhere that he had established himself, that he had said, this is my club. And I think you're finally seeing that here at Fulham. And I was not impressed with him at Everton. It sort of fell apart quickly at Everton, and that scared me when they made this hire.
I think his last game was the derby, wasn't it? The Merseyside derby defeat from Liverpool.
It was. And there was just nothing that you pulled from that you went, all right, maybe it just didn't work out, right? Like, that happens. Players, managers, sometimes it just doesn't work out. But there wasn't really anything from that you pulled from it that you go, well, this didn't work out, but I could see it here or somewhere else. And so I was a little bit nervous when they hired him. He has been unbelievable. And I hesitate to say that because I don't want to, these people are people. They do their job. He's not doing anything different that he did from those other clubs, but he has been able to build a squad that fits exactly what he wants to do. He has been, when I say unbelievable, and I don't have enough superlatives to recognize what he has done to squeeze the best out of mediocre players. I mean, the midfield of this club remains bereft of talent other than Paulinho. The other players in this squad in the midfield are castaways from so many other places. Andreas Pereira did basically nothing at Manchester United on the whole, and he still has no consistency at Fulham, but when he's at his best, oh man, is he fun to watch. Iwobi, Everton cast off. Harrison Reed has never once, I say this tongue in cheek, he's never once really impressed me. And yet he continues to get starts in this team and not be bad. That's all Marco Silva wants of these players, is don't be bad. And when it comes together, it creates a positive result. I've never seen that mentality work before, and he is making it work. Willian has almost never impressed me on a whole 90-minute performance. You don't look at Willian as a player of the match kind of guy, and yet he walks away with two assists and maybe a goal, and you're like, how? That Marco Silva is how, and that is where he is most impressive. And then his handling, you mentioned it before, his handling of man management moments like the Mitrovic departure, he hammered Mitrovic after that. Rightly so. Now, from a neutral perspective, do you understand it? Yeah, he got an offer he couldn't refuse, and he said, I want to go, and then made it happen. And at the base level, you go, a player has to protect himself and do what's best for himself. Can we criticize it? Sure. Is he taking money from questionable sources? Sure. But from at its base level, you have to go, he's doing what's best for himself and his family, he thinks. Sure. But from a team perspective, of course Marco Silva is going to be upset about how it was handled. And he made that clear. He will go to war for his guys, and therefore his guys will go to war for him. And I think Liverpool fans can understand that, because Jurgen Klopp is the epitome of that. He is the epitome of, from an outside perspective, you may find him annoying. You may find him petty. You may find him hammering on points that don't matter, whatever it may be. But he is going to go to battle for his players to a fault. And when you're inside that bubble, it is empowering. It is inspiring. And that's the idea. They don't care what they look like from the outside. They only care what they look like from the inside, because that's what matters to them. And it reflects on the field. So, I hope what's great is that he has found his place. And it does feel like if he were to try and jump to a bigger club eventually, if somebody were to go, hey, we want this guy because he fits what we're trying to do and he's impressed, I'm not convinced that it would work in many other places. So that makes me feel a little bit safe in his longevity at Fulham, which these days in the Premier League, you just don't get. So I'm optimistic about his chances of staying, which is nice, because it feels like they sort of found their guy, and they've been searching for that for a little bit.
Yeah, it does feel like there's going to be some stability with him at the helm. And reading some comments from Andres Pereira as well, just about his man management and the faith he's kept in him. Obviously scored against West Ham after a long dry spell. So I think it's clear to see what you're saying about there. And certainly with Klopp, we're getting to this stage now where I think you can see that actually, despite lots of conspiracy theorists around the time of his announcement that he was going to be leaving at the end of the season, why is he doing it? Is it this? Is it that? I think, I took his comments at face value in terms of especially the lengths he went to explain himself about the energy, about what it takes to do that, to cultivate that atmosphere, to have players running through brick walls for you, the outlay of energy that must take from somebody. You think you're starting to see it a little bit now, a club that, that tank is coming towards an end. Maybe it does need that time off to revive himself, but certainly, in terms of sort of instilling that in players, I think it's hugely valuable. You need to feel that if you're a player, that the manager has your back and is gonna be there to fight your corner if you are coming under scrutiny. I think plenty of players have felt that way, and I've always found it strange actually football fans very very fickle, but football fans criticizing managers for a display of emotion. It's like, this is a very emotional game. You're online being emotional about it. People in the stands being emotional about it. But we expect the players at times, it seems the referees do, and the managers to be emotionless, like arbiters of the games, just almost like Sims or whatever. But yeah, I find that funny. And I wouldn't want it anyway. It's going to be interesting to see who fills the helm after Klopp, and that will be an expectation that they probably conduct themselves in a somewhat similarly passionate way.
I'll just jump in on that too for a moment, because I traveled to Germany a few months ago and got to speak with Xabi Alonso and everything with Bayer Leverkusen blew up, and I have to say I'm shocked that he wasn't the guy. I mean, almost immediately, because everything made sense. Everything about that move made sense. And I'm stunned that he is staying at Bayer Leverkusen. Now, I say that also knowing that he's in a perfect situation in Germany. And I guess at some level, why let that go? But the move to Liverpool, just more than Real Madrid and more than Bayern Munich, just seemed to make sense, because the opportunity to join a new club as a manager where the previous manager wasn't fired almost never comes around. And you look at 99% of managerial openings are the way they are because the previous manager was fired. And with that comes some sort of, all right, now you need to pick up the pieces from where the previous manager went wrong. So there are holes, right? Hey, we need to fix this. We need to turn this around. There's these problems that need to be reversed. When you join a club where the manager wasn't fired and he's leaving because he's tired, you are entering a situation that is healthy, that is positive, that is... Oh, now, are there holes in the Liverpool squad? Sure. Are there things that need to be fixed? Every club every year has that. But the opportunity to join a club as healthy as it is as a new manager almost never comes around. And for me, I think Xabi Alonso is making a mistake not taking that. But I'm sure we could talk about that for another whole podcast. I just wanted to say that because, you know, having that, I do feel like I have a unique perspective. I was so impressed by everybody at Bayer Leverkusen. It is a wonderful club. There are great people there, and what they are doing is fantastic. I hope that what Xabi Alonso is doing by staying also causes some of the players who may have left instead to follow his lead and stay, because what they could do next year in the Champions League is fun as hell. But
yes, yeah.
I worry that they may lose some key components, Frimpong being one of them, that may hurt him next year, and he wouldn't have the same managerial candidacy if they aren't able to repeat. I think he's making a mistake.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.